Jesus plus nothing, 100% natural, no additives. Andrew Farley celebrating your freedom in Christ. Call in and ask your questions at 877-655-6755. That's toll free at 877-655-6755. Via satellite from Texas, it's Andrew Farley Live.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Andrew Farley Live. This is Andrew. We are live for the next half hour, taking your calls across the United States and Canada. That number, 877-655-6755. We've got wide open lines here at the top of the hour, and that means plenty of room for you to get in with your question tonight. If you've got a question about a scripture passage, or maybe there's a personal problem going on in your life right now, in your marriage, in your church, with your kids, whatever it might be, and you're looking for that grace-based perspective, well, my friend, that is exactly why we're here for the next half hour for you. So go for it. Give us a call. Open lines, 877-655-6755. Well, without any further delay, we're going to jump out to Waterloo, Canada, and we'll talk with Kat. Hey, Kat.
Hey. Hi, Andrew. How are you tonight?
Hey, I'm doing well, Kat. What's on your heart tonight?
Well, first of all, too, I just want to say thank you for who you are and the way the Lord has been working in your life and just this beautiful show that you put on pretty much every night and then Sunday afternoons, too. So I just wanted to give God praise and thanks for you.
That's awesome to hear. Thank you for the encouragement.
Yeah. Well, my question, I guess, tonight would be, I have been struggling with sleeplessness, and I also struggle with anxiety at times. I think I shared once before with you that I also struggle with ADHD. And I know that sometimes, like, I get very distracted by everything that's going on around me because I'm in low rental housing. And so even just the other night, I've been praying to the Lord, and you said something to one of your last callers. I don't know. I think it was on the 17th.
Okay.
And he was struggling, too, with anxiety and about his past and everything.
Yes.
And so I was thinking, that's interesting, because I've been struggling with something similar, but not the same sort of thing that maybe he's struggling with.
And what's what's your anxiety about? Are there certain thoughts that you gravitate toward, certain thoughts that you're hit with?
Well, it's noisy in the building that I live in. I'm always sort of afraid that I'm not going to be able to sleep, because if I don't sleep, I'm just not nice to be around.
Oh.
Plus, yeah, and then I think of my health and everything, and then just today I was sharing with my friend. We went bike riding. We were talking about that, and I shared you with her about this one caller about changing circumstances, and it's learning to just trust the Lord in certain circumstances and not trying to, like not trying, but trusting.
Yes. Well, let me talk a little bit about that, Kat. I certainly appreciate you trusting us with your question and calling in tonight. You know, anxiety, as I was explaining a few nights ago, anxiety is essentially fear of an unknown future. And for you, it's not a week away or a month away or a year away. Your fear is, what if I don't sleep tonight? What if I don't get a good night's sleep? What if it happens again tomorrow night? What if it happens the next night? Eventually, I'm going to feel like a zombie, and it's going to be no good for anybody. What if there's too much noise tonight? So first of all, you know, besides the most practical physical advice that I can give, which would be first, you know, that bike ride that you're taking, that's really, really a great idea. That bike ride that you took, what if you took them 3 and 5 times a week? What if you got some regular exercise? I think that physically that's going to help you sleep better than ever. Secondly, have you tried a noisemaker? There's white noise machines that you can put on in your room, and they will certainly help you and shield you from the noise that might be going on in your neighborhood. If you don't have a white noisemaker, your phone has an app for that. So you could download a white noise app and put it on your phone. put your phone on airplane mode and white noise your way through the night. You might have to get used to it the first few times, but after that, you're going to love it. It's going to feel like your best friend when it comes to getting some sleep. Now, you know, at the core of this is an issue of I don't know what's going to happen, and so the enemy hooks me with that. The enemy hooks me with what if, and that is the big question. What if I don't sleep? What if I don't sleep multiple nights? What if I feel horrible? What if I'm no good to anybody? What if, what if? And you're right that we're not designed to harbor that and to harness all of that stress and anxiety. And so we have to release that expectation and just say, Lord Jesus Christ, I'm going into this evening open-handed. I've got no control over the next minute, much less the next hour or the next evening. I've got no control over that. And so I give it to you, and I give up my right to really be able to manage that or control that, and I put it at your feet. And I think that open-handed approach of relinquishing your rights and being willing. I mean, I know some people that have been so paralyzed about sleep, they're worried about not sleeping, and then they're worried about worrying about not sleeping. And so they're so worried about being worried that it just builds and builds and builds, and they don't know what to do. And I think that you just have to say, Jesus, I am willing to have emotions. I'm willing to feel worry about this. I'm willing to feel good about this. I'm willing to sleep. I'm willing to not sleep. I give up my right to a perfect night's sleep. I give up my right to control this situation. I'm going to do some practical things that make sense, like get regular exercise, try a white noise maker. But other than that, I'm just going to go to bed thanking you for life in Jesus, and I'm also thanking you that my body works a certain way, and that eventually it gets so tired that it has to sleep, and it does. And so I would just approach it that way. A couple of practical tools like that exercise and noisemaker, and then really with an attitude of giving up my right to control the situation and trusting the Lord with it. So I hope that helps give you something to think about. I'm so glad that you called in tonight, my friend, and reach out to us again anytime. All right, well, let's go now to Michigan, and we'll talk with Jerry. Hey, Jerry.
Hey, hello.
Yes.
Dr. Farley. Can you hear me?
I can.
Okay, great. I've listened to your program for over a year now, and I really do appreciate your ministry, which has propelled me to call you because I'm struggling with Hebrews chapter 6, verses 4 through 6.
Okay.
I accepted the Lord when I was in my late teens, and that was, you know, many decades ago. And over the years, I mean, I walked with the Lord, but then over, you know, I found myself drifting away, falling into sin. And, you know, I have prayed, you know, the prayer of salvation so many times,
yeah,
and yet I don't feel God. I listen to other Christians, and I see their enthusiasm. I hear they're just sharing their testimony and their walk of faith and doing things, and I am nowhere. And this brings me back, brings me to Hebrews 6, verses 4 through 6, where, okay, you know, it is impossible for those who once have been enlightened,
yes,
who have tasted the gift, you know. And I feel like, okay, have I gotten to the point where God has just basically discarded me? I am salt that has lost its saltiness. You know, am I like the, you know, as Jesus talked about in Matthew 7, verses 22, you know,
right,
23,
right.
You know,
yep,
pray,
okay,
for me.
Well, let me see if I can help you, Jerry, because certainly I can relate to the problem you're describing. It's one that we hear about often. So first of all, you know, you've drifted away. That's what you're being told in your mind, that you've drifted away. Well, you can't really drift away if you take Jesus with you. He says, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. Nobody can snatch you out of my hand. Even when you're faithless, he remains faithful. Nothing separates you from the love of Christ. So you can't really drift away from Jesus, meaning you're not one moment in proximity to him, and then the next minute you're drifting away, and finally you're at this point of being so far away from Jesus. That can't happen, and you need to know it. So let's start with that, because your closeness to Christ is pretty essential for everyday living. Secondly, you're being told that you have fallen into sin. And I'm sure that things sound really nebulous and, okay, you did this 10 years ago. Oh, you did this a bunch 7 years ago, 3 years ago. You made some bad choices there. And so you get this sort of track record flowing through your mind, and it's presented by the accuser again and again, and he's telling you that you've drifted, first of all, which is a lie. You're united with Christ. And second of all, that you've fallen into sin. Well, you can never fall into sin. Now, hang on, listeners, before you write me off and change the station. You can't fall into sin literally, because you're in Christ, literally. Yes, you commit sins. Yes, you can walk after the flesh. But as far as being in, you're in Christ. Romans 8 says you're no longer in the flesh, you're in the Spirit, if God's Spirit dwells in you. So you can never be in sin, just as you can never be in Adam. If you're in Christ, that's permanent. You're a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. So I want you to see what the enemy is doing. The first thing is, lie number one is that you're distant, you have drifted, and you are distant from Christ. Number two is that you are in sin, and that that's some sort of condition that you're now in that you need to get out of. So those are the two lies you've been hit with first. And then we've got scripture, a bunch of twisted scripture that the enemy loves to use. So, depart from me, I never knew you. Will God say that to you? Maybe he will. Well, he would only say that to someone who was bragging about what a great person they are, bragging about their religious works. And what I hear you saying is the opposite. You're worried about all the sinning you've done. And the people in Matthew 7 were bragging and beating their chests about all the religious works they've done. And he says, depart from me, I never knew you. Well, that's not a Christian like you losing salvation. That's someone who never knew the Lord, and the Lord never knew them. So I just want you to see this masterful job that the enemy has tried to do on you. Number one, telling you you're dirty and distant, you've drifted. Number two, telling you you're in some sort of condition called being in sin. And then number three, using scripture, which is really addressed to unbelievers, people who were denying the need for grace and instead trying to get into God's good graces through their own works. That's who that is addressed to, and the enemy is twisting it to make it about you. So for starters, I just want you to see the doctrines that you're being fed in your mind, and it's nonsense. Now, we're not done, because first, he tells you you're dirty and distant. Second, he tells you you're in a condition called in sin. Third, he twists scripture on you. And then fourth, what he does is he says, look over there at those Christians. They have such big smiles. Where's your smile, Jerry? They have such enthusiasm. Where's your enthusiasm, Jerry? They're raising their hands in worship services. They have their faces lifted up to heaven. They have big grins and glowing complexions. Where's your glow, Jerry? And so the enemy gets you to compare yourself with other people, assuming that they're projecting to you what they're truly experiencing in life. They project something for 18 minutes during a worship set on Sunday morning, and then you're convinced that they glow their way Monday to Friday. They glow their way through their week, always feeling amazing closeness to God and amazingly clean before Him. Well, it's a pipe dream. Our emotions are up and down and all around. I've been a Christian for 4 decades now, and I can tell you that my emotions are still all over the place, and I'm learning to walk many times in contrast to the feelings that I might be experiencing. And I would venture to guess, Jerry, that you're not much different. And so I want you to be aware of that. I also want to send you, you know, speaking of Scripture being twisted, I want to send you my book. It's called Twisted Scripture, and I'm going to send it to you as a gift. If you don't have it yet, hang on the line. We'll get your information. But the enemy has done a number on you, my friend. Look, if you believe that Jesus Christ died for your sins, He rose from the dead to give you new life, if you've opened the door, you don't need to open it over and over and over and ask Him and beg Him and plead with Him to please, please save you, because you already desired that. And He said, if you open the door, I will come in. And He did come in. But you've just been inundated with strategies from the enemy, accusing you of drifting, accusing you of being in sin, twisting Scripture against you to accuse you even further, and then getting you to compare yourself with other Christians. Well, you can stop it. You don't have to let that happen. You can stop the enemy at the gateway of your mind and say, no, thank you. And then fix your eyes on Jesus and start taking in the truth that'll set you free. None of that garbage will set you free. It is nonsense. And so let us help you. Hang on the line there. We're going to send you this resource, and I think it's going to be a tremendous encouragement to you, Jerry. So I want to put you back on the line for a second. Does that help you get started, my friend?
Yes, I do appreciate that. Thank you.
Yes.
But what about Hebrews 6, though?
Okay. I mean, yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, hang on there. We'll talk about Hebrews 6. So this is another, speaking of twisted Scripture, this is another one that's being used against you. I mean, look at this. These people, they've been enlightened. Who are they? Well, they're Hebrews. They're Jews. What have they been enlightened about? Well, the idea that Jesus is Messiah. What have they tasted? Well, they've tasted the goodness of the Word of God. Have they swallowed it? No, they've only tasted it. And then what did they do after that? They fell away from it. So they heard the preaching, perhaps, the preaching of Peter, James, John, maybe even Paul, sitting there in Jerusalem. And then what did they decide to do instead? They went to the dead works of the temple to try to find forgiveness from the blood of bulls and goats. You're not doing that, Jerry. They went to the temple, to Jewish religion, to try to find eternal life through the works of the law. You're not doing that, Jerry. This is not about you. And that's why he says in verse 9, brethren, we're convinced of better things, in your case, things that have to do with salvation, even though we're speaking in this way. So he knows he's going to freak some people out, but who he's warning here is he's warning people who are denying Jesus. They hear a bit of the gospel, they taste it, they've been enlightened to the truth a little bit, but they have not swallowed the message. Then they fall away from it, then they go back to the Jewish temple, and what he's saying is you're not going to find repentance there. There's no repentance in the Jewish temple. You're only going to find life in the cross and resurrection of Jesus. So I hope that helps. Again, Jerry, I really, really appreciate you. Glad you're connected with us. Let us send you this resource. We'll continue to encourage you and call us back. It's great to hear from you. All right, well, let's go now to Missouri, and we'll talk with Mandy. Hey, Mandy.
Hi, can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
I love your ministry, Andrew. It's helped me a lot, leaving Lordship Salvation. I appreciate it. So this is my question. It's in regards to James 3:1. Not many of you should become teachers, for you know that we who are teachers will be judged by a higher standard and more condemnation if we teach incorrectly. So my question is, how do I know if I'm good enough to share the gospel and have a ministry? How do we know we are anointed to do so if I feel called to speak?
Okay. Yeah. Sounds good. Well, 2 Corinthians chapter 3 is written to a whole host of Corinthian believers, and it says that they are qualified as ministers of the new covenant. So you're not qualified to talk about an amazing lifestyle you lead. You're not qualified to tell everybody that they need to be like you. You're not qualified to tell everybody to try harder and be more committed and be more dedicated and use human effort even more like you. That's not the message that you're qualified for. That's not the message that I'm qualified for. 2 Corinthians chapter 3 says we're qualified as ministers of the new covenant. And so that's the message that can be on our lips. There is no other message. We can call it the gospel. We can call it the New Testament message. We can call it the new covenant. We can call it the word of the cross. We can call it a number of things. But that is the message that we are qualified to carry. And every believer is qualified by Jesus to share that message. So there's no waiting for you, my friend. You don't have to wait to be cleaner or closer or better. Jesus Christ has equipped you. He's made you clean. He cleaned house. He moved in. He qualified you. He gave you everything you need for life and godliness. You're complete in Him, lacking nothing. So you can get busy celebrating Jesus whenever you'd like. You can certainly enjoy sharing the truth about Him. And as far as this passage in James that you referred to, let not many of you become teachers, knowing you'll incur a stricter judgment. That's not judgment from God. He's saying that you're going to be judged by other people. I mean, look at it. It's clear as day. Even 2,000 years later, in the days of radio and television and the internet, which Christians incur the most judgment? Well, it's the ones who are yakking away on the airwaves, and especially if they're secretly leading sinful lifestyles or embezzling money or whatever. You can think of the charades that people have been involved in over the last 3 or 4 decades, all of those televangelists and et cetera. Well, so he's saying not many of you should become teachers knowing, what should you know? That people are going to judge you more harshly. They're going to judge you more strictly. So is this about God coming down on you? No, we know that anybody who's in Christ, there's no condemnation for them. We have God's perfect love that casts out fear. We can have confidence in the day of judgment. We're able to stand because He is able to make us stand. The first chapter of 1 Corinthians tells us that He preserves us blameless and He keeps us that way for the day of judgment. You're going to be blameless in the day of judgment. Your sins are gone. They're taken away. He keeps no record of your wrongs. They're removed as far as the east is from the west. There's nothing to fear about God's judgment. But you wake up every day and you certainly face the scowls and the scorns of those around you. There are many accusers in this world. Let me give you just a practical example. Imagine I were to get on this radio broadcast each evening and I were just trashed. I was sloshed. I was drunk as a skunk talking about Jesus. What would you think? Well, you'd think that guy, he's certainly disqualified. Well, Paul said, I beat my body, or I buffet my body, and I make it my slave, lest I be disqualified. Was he talking about the cross somehow not working for him? No, the cross worked. It worked for Paul. He's certainly qualified by the cross and the resurrection. But he would be viewed as disqualified by people if he were to behave in that unruly fashion. And so that is exactly the spirit in which James is speaking in this third chapter. Don't let many of you become teachers, because you are certainly going to incur a stricter judgment from those around you. We all stumble in many ways, he goes on to say. So be discerning in what you choose. So I hope that helps, Mandy. Go out there, celebrate Jesus, tell your friends and family members about the hope that is within you. The Bible says, be ready to give an account of this beautiful, beautiful message that is within you. You don't have to wait or wonder if you're qualified enough. The cross has qualified you. The resurrection makes you ready.
For more information on Andrew's books, please visit andrewfarley.org. That's andrewfarley.org. Join us every week at this time as we invite you to celebrate the freedom of God's grace. Goodbye, everybody.